Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to the We Are Women podcast. I have the beautiful Sarah Dupre. And Sarah has come all to us all the way from California. Well, it's not really that far when we're sitting on Zoom. We're all in a different time zone. And I want to welcome Sarah.
Hi, Janine. I'm so happy to meet you.
I'm sitting here in long sleeves because it's winter in Queensland. This will go to air by the time it's summer in Queensland. So we'll and it'll be winter in California. We'll be the opposite reverse by the time people will be listening or watching this. So it's welcome. Let me tell you a little bit about Sarah. Sarah has been a professional in the advertising industry for 17 years. She started out at large agencies, Saatchi and Saatchi and Yamaha, and eventually found her place in the marketing world as a commercial and brand photographer. She's shot for large companies such as Boot Barn, Sprouts, and Kotex, as well as many small businesses and entrepreneurs, including highly influential social media personalities. I'm interested to find out more about those influencing social media personalities too, Sarah. Now that's a
Absolutely.
very little short bio, so we're going to learn a little bit more about you. But what was it about the marketing that was of interest when you first started studying, but and then the experiences in working for those big companies?
Okay, to be completely honest, I got into advertising because I went to college and I had no clue what I was going to do. And, I talk a lot. And my mom said, "Go major in communications. You talk a lot." All right, that sounds just as good as any. And while I was in there, I just kind of found my place in advertising. So when I graduated, that's where I ended up. I ended up working for Saatchi and Saatchi straight out of college. And then as an internship, moved into Yamaha as my full-time job. And that's where I started with the advertising world. And from there, I did move into graphic design because I always had this dream of being the creative, and found that I fell in love with photography along the way. So, I started out with photography, doing portrait photography, and was like a lot of women who have children and go, "Oh, they're so cute. I want to take pictures of them." And, having the background with the marketing, as well as, finding my voice in photography, really served to put me in this place in the world of it's a unique place, the brand photography, where I'm able to take that commercial background that I have and marry it to this new style that's, very necessary in today's commercial world, which is that commercial lifestyle sort of feel, where it's not, standing and looking perfect for the camera. It's much more authentic, and it feels like you're really there and part of the moment.
I'm starting to see a lot more of that because, in what ours crosses over a bit, except I don't do any of the photography things, but when we're going to be talking about planning, it's definitely a priority. But as I help people establish their personal brand authority through the way they deliver their message, the photograph that they have is exactly that, how they deliver the message. And I'm seeing so much of people now getting photographs that their personality is shining through. And not just that portrait photo that we expect from a business photo.
Yeah, there's a big difference between a traditional headshot and a lifestyle commercial shot. Before I shoot anybody, I spend so much time talking with them about the things that you would expect: brand colors, brand style, so that we can really discuss, if we're going to go somewhere, we want to make sure that we're not just sticking this business professional out in a field because it's pretty. We're going to choose a location that really speaks to their brand and represents them and the message that they want to share and attracts the audience that they're trying to attract as well. So, but along the way too, I ask them things that they do not expect their photographer to ask them, like, who is your target audience? Because that, as they're saying these things, it becomes important to know, because then we get ideas for pictures that they can then use to partner with their social media along the way. What are some of the goals of your target audience? What are some of the fears of your target audience? How do you have a unique perspective on those goals and fears? And learning all of that, we can then tell those stories with pictures.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this just over the last few months because I had listened to somebody who spoke on, exactly on this particular topic, and I'm thinking, My interest is getting out in nature and going, in the caravan camping, sitting around a campfire and that type of thing, which is very much me. And it's an interesting sort of combo of this professional space that you want to be seen in and the campfire glass of wine type of space as well. Yeah, and I've been thinking about, oh, okay, how am I going to blend this as a lifestyle photograph and work it from there. But I'm sure, the photographers that I've seen doing some work around here locally are just capturing the essence of the people they're taking the photographs with the just even the really unique poses that they've got with them. It's just it brings that power out or that empathy depending on what they're trying to get. And it's very different.
Yeah, well, and I think that Australia too, I feel like you guys are a little ahead of us. Like, I can't say that for sure, but I do feel like you guys tend to be a little ahead of us as far as this realm goes. So I imagine that what you're seeing out there is amazing. And for me, when I do these things, I do have clients that I have somebody that helps get government contracts for his employees. But he also is he does Tai Chi, and he wanted to marry the two things together in there. And he's like, but can I really do Tai Chi in this? Absolutely. Like, what are some of the things that they teach you in Tai Chi that are relevant to, what you're trying to teach your people about, growing their business and finding getting these contracts? There's balance, there's strength, there's all sorts of things that you can absolutely use a picture of yourself doing something that you're passionate about and tie it back to your business, because chances are they overlap in ways that are unexpected, and it really leads people to come in and want to read your content and see what it's all about.
Yeah, that's interesting. While you were talking, I'm visualizing because I love roller coasters and really fast rides and things like that. I can imagine, and because I talk about people building the confidence and having self-belief in what they do and being able to shine through that, that would be quite fun,
Yes.
wouldn't it? It would probably wouldn't be the best look with the wind blown and the screaming face. Oh, actually, I don't scream. I smile. I have a smile this wide when I'm on something like that because I just love it so much. It
No,
would.
but it would be a really fun video to share
It
and
would
talk
be.
about it, 'cause you kind of get that same feeling, that same feeling of like fear, but excitement, like that I'm sure your clients are also feeling as well. So there's always something that overlaps with your passion.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. It just popped into the head about the roller coasters because that you do get that pit of the stomach feeling when you get on there, which is that excitement feeling. And
Absolutely.
that's what I talk about. Excitement and nervous feeling or fear feeling is so similar. It's just that pit in the stomach, so it's that step forward and let's take the roller coaster. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's interesting. I will put that
Yeah.
in memory banks and apply that somewhere, I am sure. So working with those big companies, what were sort of some major takeaways that you learned that you are able to apply what you do, but or maybe not, other things that would be of interest and value to the people listening?
Well,
But
the biggest
they're big
takeaway,
companies.
yeah, the biggest takeaway that I would say is that you can't operate as these people do as a smaller business. It doesn't work. So you have to keep in mind the way that they're marketing, how you as a small business can stay visible in the midst of what it is that they're doing. So something simple could be, in the United States, we have, I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but we do Black Friday, right before Christmas, and it's when everybody goes on sales. And okay, good. So Black Friday is huge, right? Like, it's the biggest marketing time for the entire year. And big businesses will typically start their marketing campaigns early November. But as a small business, you don't want to start your marketing at the same time that they're starting theirs. You have to jump on in, October and stay on top of people's minds before these big businesses start coming in and, monopolizing that space.
And it's not just that they do traditional advertising either now, it's because they just do all right across social media, which is sort of the realm of the smaller business owner because they can't afford traditional media.
Yeah. And also, I mean, utilizing some of those skills that these bigger businesses are doing and finding ways that you as a small business owner can replicate that in a way that works for you. So these big businesses are out there, hiring large influencers, and they're paying them a lot of money to talk about their brands. As a small business, you can really utilize something like micro influencers who are still trying to build their following, but they have a really engaged following, and they're happy to do things for trade even, because they're still trying to establish themselves in this, in this marketplace. And if it's aligned with their, with their brand, they're usually happy to do it for a trade or do it for a really low cost as compared to some of these larger influencers. So
That's a really interesting concept to think about that, because we would normally see that influencers are out of our reach, but there are people that are, trying to grow as influencers. But finding someone that resonates with you and resonates with your brand would be the important factor there, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And you don't realize like the power of these micro influencers. If you get 10 influencers that are, 10,000 followers, maybe a little bit below, and you look at their engagement rate, it's so high. It's so much higher than somebody with 100,000 followers. And so for, a much smaller cost, you can get a far more engaged audience by utilizing several of these super micro influencers.
Yeah. So with the micro influencers, do you just Google micro influences?
No. What I would do is I would start looking on social media and looking under, people who are interested in, like you said, making sure that they're aligned with the company's values, beliefs, and what it is that they're trying to portray. So let's say it's a company that is really into health and fitness. Then you would go and look for people who are posting things like, paleo diets or, running or workout routines, and see, hey, let's see what their engagement's like. Let's see what the rest of their page is like. It takes a lot of research. It does. But it's worth it to really dig those people out if you're starting out, because when you're starting out, you don't have that big giant team. A lot of what you're doing is coming from really just getting in there and digging it out,
Yes, and part of that, again, something when people are starting out thinking, I've got to do all of these things, and then all becomes overwhelming and they don't do anything. And that P word is one that obviously you and I like to share and make sure people follow through, is to have a plan to where they want to go. And where does that fit with you? What do you mean by having a plan with regard to what you're talking about?
With me in my world, the way that I help people plan out their social media is by having a gallery of images and videos that they can pull from and easily use to post so they can stay relevant on social media. Making sure if you don't have it in your budget right now to be hiring a professional photographer to be doing that for you, it's an easy thing that you can do for yourself as well. Just spending one day a month taking all of the pictures that you need to take, all the videos that you need to take for the entire month. And that way, when you're posting on social media every single day, you're taking minutes out of your day instead of taking hours. Creating, conceptualizing, doing all of that takes so much time out of your day. And having this planned out in advance makes it so it only takes minutes.
I love that. I want that again, chunking your work. It makes a big difference to be able to say, let me put a couple of hours aside. And one of the things that I do too is when I ha had a hairdresser day, I block out that afternoon because, us girls, we've got to look, be vain and look as good as we can. And the hairdresser does a much better job of my hair than I do. So I do that. And I've always done that, is block out that afternoon once I've been to the hairdressers, and that's to do videos, create videos.
That's a great idea. Yeah, you already know that half the day is being used for that, so use the other half. You've got great hair already done.
Absolutely, it's all going to look good.
It's all perfect anyways. That's a great idea. I love that idea.
And it just gives you that confidence. I was with somebody yesterday, and we're talking about LinkedIn profile, and whenever I'm out with anyone, I connect on LinkedIn because that's one of the platforms that I use a lot, and I help people really set up a profile that's going to grab people's attention. And just a hers, there was nothing on there. There was nothing personal. Even her full name wasn't on there, and you don't see it until you be connect with her, and she only had a couple of hundred connections. And I said, you've got to open this up. This is a platform that's got to be available for everyone to see what you do, how you do it. And she said, oh no, I don't want the competitors to know. I'll just keep it private. Thinking, why are you there? And I said, the first thing is you never worry about competitors. Everyone mm-hmm. does their own thing their own way. And mm-hmm. how you do it is not relevant to how anyone else does anything. And then secondly is, by not being open on social media, you're just missing the mark completely. Mm-hmm. It was, why be there even?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're kind of wasting your time at that point. And that's the other thing too. Like, there really is no competition, because there are, I mean, I can look at my market and say, it's oversaturated. Why am I even trying? There's a photographer on every corner. Like, but there is no other me. And people will resonate with me and how I take pictures and my past knowledge and, you know, who I am, and want to work with me over somebody else simply because they need what I offer in this unique space, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm part of a networking group here in Australia, which has launched some groups in the US. And they don't lock out anyone. Everyone's welcome. It doesn't matter if there's three accountants in the group, because again, exactly what you're saying is who resonates with who. And it's, you're not then, you know, forced that you have to use that photographer or that accountant. You can meet people, and the beauty of this is you can actually meet people from all around Australia and New Zealand and the US, and there's some people from Canada and England jumped onto some of the meetings as well. But it's that sense of there's no competition. Everyone has something different to offer, and it's who we connect with that's the important
Absolutely.
Factor. Yeah. Yes, competition is one of those things that I'm always, I don't worry about it. It's interesting to know what they're doing, especially if they're doing something well, but it's not my problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, and it's okay to take inspiration from the way that your, you know, competition is doing things, because you can take inspiration from them and turn it into something that's completely your own. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, you're not out there copying people just to see what they're up to. But if they have an idea and you're like, oh my gosh, that is brilliant, I love this aspect of it, mm-hmm. and I can turn that into this, and it's a whole new world. That's amazing. And it's the way it should be, you know, because this wouldn't work for them. This is what worked for them.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do that personally, because I just see some people doing something so beautifully, but it wouldn't suit me what mm-hmm. they're doing. But, but maybe an element of it in mm-hmm. my space becomes me, and it's,
yes.
And it works that way. Yeah. Yeah. Little thing I brought up in it, I was on networking event last night, and something I brought up about, particularly about social media or LinkedIn profile, again, the photograph, that it has to be a professional photograph in a professional site like that. But mm-hmm. people don't recognize the difference of having a photograph that faces towards the banner as opposed to away from it.
Okay.
The difference, it really is obvious and jumps out at you when you mm-hmm. look at someone's photograph away from the banner and towards it. It just makes it more inviting. And little aspects like that, I imagine, Sarah, that's the sort of thing that your expertise is picking up when you're taking photographs, going, that's slightly going to be, you know, that looks more engaging, or that looks more comfortable, or that looks more real as you're taking
photos. It's funny, because I wouldn't recognize a detail like that. I'm not a detail-oriented kind of person. That's not the way that I shoot at all. I'm much more natural, go with the flow, and I do like to stay on brand. So I feel like staying on brand is what's going to keep you from falling into that rut of, I'm just the same as everybody else. You know, I'm just the same as every other photographer, coach, whatever it might be. Staying on brand and making sure that your uniqueness is shining through, that's where I come in. So I would have never thought of that. And I think that the point that you brought up of somebody looking towards the banner is really neat, because it does. It would draw your eye, because they're looking this way. Mm. You naturally want to look that way as well. It makes a lot of sense.
And energetically, when you're looking mm-hmm. turned away from something, mm-hmm. it has a very different feel to it than, mm-hmm. than towards it.
That's a very good point. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it was something I noticed, you know, a couple of years ago, and started to figure out what's the difference here between that and that. And it was just something really simple. And it was how I connected with that person or not.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that. What a neat point.
And making sure you have photographs, hey, across
Yes.
social media.
Yeah, well, and making sure that you have, I mean, here's what I was just at a networking event too, and we were discussing, the businesses that want to show up as a professional presence, they do need the professional quality photos, videos on there. That's not to say that everything that's on there needs to be that quality, but having a mix of that in there does show like I'm in here and I'm legitimate. It gives that sense of authority and trust that people can trust that you're a real business. You're not just somebody that's doing this out of your garage,
And that because I am a speaker trainer, I tend to be a little bit more judgmental or hesitant in what I put up in a really casual framework because it's not something that's edited necessarily. Like these interviews, I don't edit anything, we just go with it, which is very cool. So I tend to do, if I'm doing my casual walking, I do it when I'm out walking. So I've got the sunnies on and the cap, and it's a different space and often puffing. And I, talk about a point about, sometimes it's really difficult to do the things you don't want to do, that whatever it is, that it's in that space. So it sort of gives me permission to be not looking as professional as I am because I'm out here doing this.
Yeah, but I mean, people do like to see that really raw authenticness kind of mixed in there, that, behind the scenes, like they get to see something they don't normally get to see. They didn't see the fully pro like finished, polished version of you. They got to see the real you, and they really got a chance to connect with that. But that's not to say that, you need to ignore the fact that you want to put yourself out there as a professional as well.
Yeah, and that's where I think a lot of people don't do something. They just don't do it. They hate seeing themselves on video. And I know you've got some tips on how to do that a little bit better as well. You know that,
Absolutely.
yeah, that, because that's something I find all the time, go, oh, I can't possibly video myself. And the other thing is we don't like the sound of our own voice. It's
Yeah.
just human nature. Most people just don't like the sound of their own voice when they hear it back on a video or recording. But what I tell people is that's what everyone hears every single day.
Yeah, but you're not used to it. Day in, day out, you hear what's in your head. You don't hear what's coming out here.
Absolutely. And it's
Yeah.
just a matter of going, well, that's just it. Deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. But if people are, nervous to show up on social media or, in video, a really big tip I would say is just make sure that you have good lighting. Good lighting changes everything. And that could be something as simple as, opening up all the windows in your house. Do not, if you can avoid it, do not turn on your overhead lights, because the second you put on those overhead lights, you're going to get raccoon eyes. So you can start to see all the wrinkles, all the blemishes, everything on your skin that you're trying to hide. When you turn on those overhead lights, it amplifies that. So nice soft window light coming at you from the front, from the sides, as much as you can. And if you can't get that because you're in a dark room, you can invest in something as simple as a ring light. Or any other sort of video light, but that makes a huge difference and will give you a huge boost in confidence to help you get on video.
Yes, and that's something that I've had for years as a ring light, but I've shifted my office, home office, and now I'm in a room with two huge windows. So in front of me is this massive window, hence
Yes.
the light's great, and I also have one on that side. You can sort of see the corner of it there, and it's amazing. It's different at night, obviously, but in the
Yes.
daytime, it's fabulous having the light come in. So having I never heard that thing about the raccoon eyes with the overhead lighting.
Yeah. Well, think about it, because the light's coming from above, your brow is shadowing your eyes. So you're going to get shadows in your eyes, and people are drawn to your eyes. That's what you want to be the brightest on you.
I'm
Yeah.
thinking now as I'm looking, going, oh,
Your
no,
light looks
no.
beautiful. You look
Yeah,
amazing.
and also on Zoom, we've got the bit of a filter going too. That helps. What works? Trust me, what works?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not anti-filters. I am, however, and I will stand on this one until the day I die. I am anti-filtering your professional photos and videos. If you want something changed in a photo, ask your photographer before you slap a filter on there. Like, hey, I'm feeling uncomfortable because I see some wrinkles in this. Tell your photographer and ask what they would charge to fix that in Photoshop and keep it natural looking, because the second you throw a filter on there, it's like you've taken away that element of professionalism and you've brought in a, it looks, like you took it with your iPhone again, And why did you pay all this money for these professional photos if you're just going to put a filter on it, make it look like you took it with your iPhone?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I know I had some edited the last lot of professional photos I had taken, and they were edited too much, and they just didn't feel like me. A couple of them, others were great, but it was just some selection. I just went, that's not me. It obviously wasn't a great photo, so it was edited, and it just I don't use them at all because of that.
Well, and as a photographer, you gotta really talk to your client, because there are some clients that do want to feel like themselves. They don't feel comfortable putting it out there because this, if somebody met me, this is not what I look like. And there are some people that are like, do it all. Like, because we live in a very like filter society. I mean, people can easily, if they're taking a video, put on a filter and feel like, I just rolled out of bed, but it looks like I put on a full face of makeup. And, if you don't feel comfortable stepping into that space without, having the full Photoshop experience done to your photos, that's okay. It shouldn't hold you back from putting yourself out there. Just make sure that you communicate with your photographer what you feel comfortable with.
And that is the thing, isn't it? Being that authentic, real self. That so when you get your photographs back, then you that's me. That's what I'm happy with. And just being very real. Do you find you work mostly with women?
I work mostly with women. Yes, I do.
And do you find that their women are very self-conscious, and it's what it once you get you have to work hard to get them relaxed, and once they are, it's fine. But is that something that you come across?
Absolutely. Yeah. We do tend to be a little more self-conscious with our photos, but if you discuss that with me ahead of time and we determine what it is that you're feeling uncomfortable about, it can be something as simple as, Photoshop, having the ability to do a high-end retouch afterwards, or if it's something that you're uncomfortable with as far as body image goes, a lot of that can be solved with making sure that you're wearing the right clothing to your shoot and the posing that we're doing along the way as well. One of the common places that people feel like they are not comfortable would be arms. So, a really quick tool for that, if you're feeling uncomfortable about your arms in pictures or videos, you can easily wear sleeves and make sure that your arms are pulled away from your body. Because when you push your arm against your body, it instantly goes from this to this. I've just doubled the size of my arm. So, and when we take pictures, we tend to lock up like soldiers, right? We go, okay, I'm in the camera. So you gotta find reasons to take your hands away from your body, whether it's sticking them in your pockets or holding onto a purse, holding onto a hat, whatever it might be. But just making sure that you have a reason for your arms to be away from your body really helps to slim out arms.
Yeah, that's a great
Something else,
point. Yeah.
yeah,
Go on.
something else would be double chins. I hear that a lot because a lot of times I do a lot of authentic, like you're smiling and you're laughing, and what people tend to do when they laugh is,
That,
hee, we all do it. So, okay, we're gonna do that picture again. We're gonna laugh, but remember to keep your chin forward, because the second you pull that chin back, that's when you start getting the chin. That's when you start getting chins, and it doesn't matter what your weight is. These are things that everybody runs into, and
yeah,
knowing that too.
that's a really good point. I remember a photographer friend, when we're doing just a random networking photo or something, it's turn sideways. And then look forward, stick the chin out.
That's very much the very standard headshot. Like that's 1,000%. You sit on the stool, you turn your body a little bit away, because what you're doing with your shoulders straight forward, you're making yourself wider, right? So by turning your shoulders a little bit away, you've now slimmed yourself. And then you bring your full attention back to the screen so that you're getting your audience fully engaged, and you bring your chin out so you make sure you don't get the double chin. And It's a safe pose to do that everybody looks great in.
It's one I've been using a lot over the years of learning it, and even when I'm with a few other people, I'll be saying, right, sideways that way, so
That's right.
everyone's it feels odd, but it does come up looking natural, and it's the most flattering.
Yeah, well, and for women too, I am short. I am really short. I'm 5'2". So I work sometimes with models that are 6 foot. I work with, most people are on average taller than me, and nobody wants
I don't
pictures
come
from
across
my
many people
angle.
shorter than me, Sarah, so I've met you today, so thank you.
I know there aren't many. So, one of the things that's really important to note is that you an angle, like so the angle that you're taking the picture at, I am at a terrible angle to take your picture. I will bring along a stool because for women, taking pictures from a little bit higher up naturally brings that chin up and it helps to smooth out that neck. But for men, they don't want, that sort of like looking up sort of a thing. They want to be more straight on the camera. They want to take up as much space as they can, right?
It's funny when I get people to take photos, like, oh, there's a group of, would you mind taking a photo? And they'll get down and they'll bend down low, and I go, no. Stand taller and take
Yes,
the
yeah.
photo.
We'll bring the camera up. Don't swing, like, don't scrunch down. Yeah. Well, and what's great is knowing those sort of gender norms when it comes to posing and breaking them sometimes. Like, I will have women that I bring into photo shoots, and I specifically pose them knowing, like, you are going to take authority in this picture. So we are going to bring your shoulders forward. We are going to have you take up as much space as we can in this picture because you are going to just exude authority, Whereas when you're turning away, just like you were saying about your LinkedIn profile and the energy, when you're turning away and you're keeping yourself a little more subdued, that's not the energy that you're bringing in. You feel thin and, very like, you're kind of hiding those insecurities, but at the same time, you're not exuding that authoritative sort of stance in your picture.
And again, it's what message do you want to relay? That's the important factor. And who are you, and how can you be authentic to yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So again, going back to brand, right? So keeping your brand image in mind and knowing what story it is that you're trying to tell with these pictures, because a picture does tell a story. So, and it's from everything from location to the way that you're posing to the clothes that you're wearing, you're telling the world something about you.
Definitely. The taking self-portraits or taking selfies, is there tricks to that? Because that's sort of what we're doing most of the time, isn't it? Whether we want to put our social media, or we want it for reels, or depending whether people are using TikTok or website or whatever they're doing with it as well.
Absolutely. My biggest tip is to take the camera out of your hand, put it on a tripod, put a self timer on. No matter what camera you have, there's an ability to be able to take a picture without having it be in your hand. Then you have a chance to bring in your hands and use them for expression, especially with videos. People want to see, expression in what it is that you're doing. For photos as well, you have a chance to, use them in different ways. And a lot of times, I kid you not, it's so funny. The second you don't have something in somebody's hand, I have had so many people go, but what do I do with my hands? It's like, how do they suddenly forget what to do with their hands when you point a camera at them? So know in advance when you're going to take this picture what it is that you're going to do with your hands. You're not going to hold your phone, so you're going to put them in your pocket. You're going to, have a hat, like I was saying before, a prop, a product, if that's the industry that you're in,
Book.
a book, yes. If it's, I mean, whatever it is that you're talking about or that you're trying to, tell your audience about, that's an important thing to do, is to have something for your hands to do.
That's a great point. We tend to, just do the quick selfie while we're doing things. I tend to carry a little tripod around to networking events, and but then forget to use it.
Yeah,
Just
that absolutely. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I mean,
Or
it
I
does
tend to ask
happen.
other people to take photos. I find that is a way to do that as well.
Yes, if you're in a
But
situation where there are other people around and you can't just say, "Hey, can you take a quick picture of us?"
yeah.
Absolutely. But a lot of times I have carted my tripod around to grab professional photos of myself for my social media. I've carted it around everywhere. Like I brought it into coffee shops like a giant weirdo. Like, don't mind me. Just gonna take a picture over here.
My tripod is about 6 inches tall and it expands out, so it doesn't look as
Intimidating.
intimidating
Yeah.
as that.
I bring the whole thing. I'll bring lights in. I'll do it. And here's the thing. The bigger fool you make of yourself, because I get clients that are like, oh, this is a lot. Like, this is like people are looking at us. I'm like, absolutely. Give them a business card. Like, because you are going to, in these sorts of situations, when you're out there taking pictures of yourself for your brand and you want to tell that story about yourself, whether it's coffee shops, walking down the street, you're going to draw attention. People are going to wonder what the heck is going on. And you're going to get the whispers, and you have to be confident in yourself enough to know that doesn't matter. Like, what these people are saying doesn't matter.
No.
And they every once in a while you will get somebody that goes, what do? And you've just made a new client because you were brave enough to step out of that comfort zone and be there for your business.
And I know, I mean, we use photography for our marketing, but that's a different way to do that, isn't it? But it's great. And that's the important part with the marketing, though, is we have to have photographs. And people want photographs of the person that they want to build connection with. I changed a lot of my marketing from stock photos to photos of me running courses, and it just feels very different in the
Absolutely.
space.
Yeah, and especially for somebody like you and so many other entrepreneurs that are doing a service-based business, creating that personal brand is huge. People want to connect with who it is that they're working with. For product-based businesses, you can get away with it, you not being the forward-facing person in that business by using the product models, behind the scenes of the production of whatever it is that you're doing. But as a service-based business, you need to put yourself out there. Otherwise, people aren't going to feel comfortable utilizing your services. And it's
No.
scary.
Oh, it absolutely is. I did a small TED talk practicing in an event the other night, and it was all about inner values and how we make judgments of the outer values. We're judging that within ourselves and doing comparisons of how we look, whether we've got money, our achievements all the time, and looking rather than looking in at those inner values. So stopping that judgment is a very hard call. It's that judgment of self or comparison to somebody else, but it's all got to come back to being showing up as the authentic you and recognizing that that's who you are, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Is this insecurity going to be worth my business not doing its best? And is this insecurity something that I can work around? Like, again, am I feeling insecure about my body right now? Where is something with sleeves? If that's going to be like, don't let that hold you back. Let what is authentic to you that is beautiful, and everybody is beautiful. Everybody has beauty in them. Letting the parts of you that you love shine, So it's not about, I don't want people to feel like if I'm telling them, put on sleeves, that I'm telling them to hide anything about themselves. I'm telling them do something so that you feel comfortable letting your true beauty shine.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is letting that true beauty shine. A quick one is the when while we're doing all this, we're on social media a lot, and we tend to get stuck there a little bit, don't we? Take a lot of time up in our day. It's not, and I know, I think I read one of your blogs that you had written something on on screen time and how to avoid screen time.
It's so hard. And it's funny. Again, I was just at a networking event and there was a social media person there. And she said, I've shifted because of the impact of how social media has affected me mentally and how it affects other people who are social media marketers mentally. And I have now shifted my business into helping other social media managers know how to manage themselves mentally because of the impact that social media has on you mentally. It becomes an addiction. That screen time becomes an addiction, like wanting to check your likes, wanting to check what's trending. I mean, once you get into it, it's really like you dig yourself into this hole, and finding that balance. I think planning goes back to finding that balance. If you have a marketing plan in place, then you're not constantly like trying to figure out what it is that you're doing. You're staying your course instead of trying to fit in with everything else that's going on. And I think that that helps provide like a healthy boundary with social media.
Yeah, and again, yes, as you said, planning and judgment and all of that, we want to keep ourselves mentally as well as we possibly can. So if something's affecting you, then getting away from it and avoiding it. That was very clever of that social media person to recognize that and then move into somewhere where that skill is needed to help other people also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I mean, social media is here to stay as far as marketing goes, but creating those healthy boundaries around it with things like planning in advance, that's really important, you
Yeah.
know?
I know I use a scheduler for all the standard things across social media, and then the daily things are done as they happen.
Yeah. And that makes sense as long as you don't feel like, you're tied to it, you know? Where a lot of people, when they start utilizing social media for their marketing, they feel like they're really tied to it. And taking a solid look too at where it is that you're getting your leads from and what it is that you want your social media to do. Because are you on social media to get followers? Is that really going to benefit your business? If it is, I see very few industries where the number of followers truly affects your business. If you're an influencer, yes, absolutely, the number of followers is going to get you more money. But if you're a small business, having that social media presence is great because you're meeting people that are real potential clients out in the real world on things like I've met you today, like on this podcast, like meeting people face to face and having real conversations with them. And then they go and use your social media to kind of like, hey, I really like this person. Like, let's get to know them a little bit better. And using it for that's a real solid way to get leads, as opposed to putting yourself out there and just trying to gain followers because that's what you've been told you have to do to be successful, you know?
I totally agree with that. Three takeaways. We've come running out of time here. The time always goes quickly, Sarah.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you. So I just, I feel like that was, it did go by very quickly, but I would say the three takeaways that I would like to leave people with would be, staying on brand when you're planning out your social media and planning out your social media in advance. And, let me think. Staying on brand, planning out your social media in advance. And
And planning your photographs as well. I love that way that you said that about chunking and doing all the photographs at the same time.
I would definitely say that's part of that planning in advance. And, not letting insecurities, hold you back from, furthering your business.
Yeah, because the things faults we see within ourselves, nobody else sees anyway.
No. We're our own worst enemies when it comes to that, for sure.
Yeah, we're looking in the mirror for too long. Now, you're obviously in the US, so if we've got a lot of Australian listeners, they can't necessarily use your photography skills, but for our listeners overseas, it's definitely something for people to pick up on. But I know you've got a lot of blogs and a lot of interest. What would you like people to do and connect with you?
I've actually separated my personal brand with a business brand. And if people would like more tips on how to, market yourself better and how to take better photographs, I would love for you to check out dreamweavermedia.co on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all the major social media places.
What was the name of
And
that again, Sarah? So it was just quickly.
dreamweavermedia.co.
Oh, okay. Because I, yeah. That's great.
And I would love for everybody to come and check that out. And also, if you're a product-based business and you are interested in my services, I do offer shoots that you ship things to me. So just as something to put out there,
Okay.
if you would like to learn more about my product photography, definitely come check me out.
Yeah. And if someone just wants to send you an email or something, they'll find your details. Is there a website for Dreamweaver?
Dreamweavermedia.co.
Dreamweavermedia.com. I didn't put that down. Okay.
Yep, and they can contact me through there. I'm always happy to answer questions, because another great tip for social media is if one person has questions, there are several others out there that have it as well. So I'm always happy to answer questions, because you know what? It's content.
I love it. I know I have
Yeah.
a spreadsheet. When I go Googling for a question, or somebody else has asked me a question, it goes into a spreadsheet. So then it becomes a blog at a later date. Yeah,
Yep, exactly.
absolutely. I absolutely have loved our conversation. Your evening, afternoon, my morning. Oh, I was going to say this morning. It's been terrific, and there's just been so much great content in there that people, who are looking to feel a bit more comfortable. I'm sure you've helped people feel more comfortable in front of the camera, and also to get the most advantage out of their photographs and their media.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Janine. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. And that's Sarah Dupre. I've had pronounced
Yes.
it correctly, haven't I?
You
Yeah, wonderful.
have.
And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I thank you for joining us here. And remember, if you have got any questions and you're not sure about things that you in your business, or you just want to organize a brainstorming session, go to janinevosper.com and book a time with me. I would love to have a chat.